Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number one continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a Tuesday. Let's go to the phones, get connected to our fans. First up today, RJ is on the line. RJ, how are we doing?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So a couple things. So we're talking about the defense, how we're getting gashed at times, and we just don't have that player that's stepping up. My biggest issue, not even so much that, is because that's happening now, and the statement gets made all the time, we keep having to have Josh put the cape on. And, again, we rely on him so much. I mean, Cook is stepping up now, which I appreciate because I think we needed that. And we're using him more, which makes sense because we're paying him $12 million a year. But we have to stop relying on this because it's sooner or later, something bad's going to happen because he keeps having to have so much pressure and so much anxiety on him during the game. And the second thing is, I'm a huge Penn State fan. I'm a diehard Bills fan. But I'll tell you this, James Franklin and they drive me nuts because they can't, neither one of them can win big games. Getting to a certain point, can knock it over that hump to win the big game, but yet they're still on the staffs. They're still being held like they're these, like, great, great coaches like Saban or somebody like that when they're not, because they can never finish and get the big game done. Those are my two thoughts. You guys talk about, let me know.
RJ, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thanks, RJ.
I will tell you on the relying on Allen too much. I think that was true for a few years. I think especially this year, and I do want to talk about James Cook more as the week goes on and even as the season goes on, they are now also starting to lean on him. And in a way that I think – I know there's been a lot of people, and to a certain extent I can agree, if you want to bring his usage down, you don't want it, I don't care. You're paying him $12 million a year. If he's your best running back, if he's your second best weapon on offense, use them. I'm okay with leaning on your best players. The problem was for the Bills, I think for a long time, was it was just Allen and Diggs. And to a certain extent, Diggs is relying on Allen. They have to work in the symbiotic relationship. You were hoping
a wide receiver has to have a quarterback in order to be successful,
right? In terms of like needing another star that not always have to lean on Allen early, would have to have been a running back or a defensive player, right? Having a Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons that on the other side of the field could take it out, or a running back that Allen doesn't have to touch the ball and you could still be a great offense, a great team. James Cook right now is one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL. He's second in the league in rushing. He is dominating many teams, and he's doing it also with not the full complement of offensive linemen. Ryan Vandermark is in over Spencer Brown, still gets over 100 yards, still no problem. They don't have to rely on their passing game so much. I think that is a positive there for the Bills. We'll see about the defense. I think they can somewhat survive giving up a lot in the running game. I'm not saying they can be 32nd in the league and survive, but that's also with a lot of guys missing and injured and suspended and what have you. But if they're 20 to 25th in the league in rushing yards allowed, I think they can survive that. They're winning by 10 and 12 points, and they're giving up a ton of rushing yards. It's allowing teams, I guess, to keep it close. It's not really letting them allow, or allowing them to win the game.
And that is something that we'll need to see the true meaning of something. And it's not about the run defense. It's about the pass defense. How good is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Their numbers are great.
Right, yeah.
They also don't need to be tested because teams can run the football on them. So there might be a problem there that we don't know yet because of the fact that the Bills haven't really allowed it to show its face.
Well, yeah, because teams are just going to lean into the... But I think that's why the Bills are doing this, is it's cool. You're not going to beat us through the air. You're not going to beat us.
It is technically leaving... It's leaving everything in front of you still, technically.
Like, and that's the thing, too. They're,
that's no, a toxic mindset, they're but first that's how in, you could think about it.
But they're first in passing yards per game allowed. That, I think, that can absolutely be looked at as, well, you know, teams are deciding to run the ball more on them. And I think that's absolutely correct. Like, that is much more of the statistic of how much does this really mean. The passing yards per play, though, being first, I think is far more indicative of the Bills are doing a very good job in the pass defense. You're not going to beat them deep. You're not even going to really beat them at all through the air.
I will say that some of that might still be a byproduct of you allowed Justin Fields to have, like, what, 7 yards passing or something like that?
Sure.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. But Rattler didn't really beat you through the air.
Rattler didn't beat you through the air. Tua didn't beat you through the air. Jackson could have beat you through the air based on how that game was going. But they just kept making bad coaching decisions late in the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the pass defense is yet. And that's the part of like learning anything productive about them. We're still going to be a while. And Kansas City is the first real lesson that you're going to get in that. Because the Chiefs don't run the ball very well.
No, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is still their leading rusher, but at least through 3 weeks he was.
He was through 3 weeks, and it's a lot of things happen because you face the Ravens defense. You want to talk about a team that actually has a bad defense? Well, there's Baltimore there sitting around the corner at 1-3. The Bills at least have a good enough defense that you can stem the tide, but if the Bills had the Ravens schedule, are they looking at 4-0? Probably not. You're probably looking at 3-1 or something. Mahomes is still their leading rusher. They don't have a run game.
By 3 yards, but yeah, they don't have a run game.
They don't have a run game. Pacheco's been bad, but if the Bills can't tackle him, for example, that's going to be the problem. But I think that the Chiefs are going to be the best test of what the pass defense is. Because, regrettably, I have to say it, Mahomes is playing pretty well right now. And they've needed him to be. And that's just to get to 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how Allen has never had like much support over the years, or he hasn't had too much of it. Look at Kansas City. Like, yeah, they got Xavier Worthy back, and he had 83 receiving yards.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the end of the dynasty's run. They could still be competitive.
Well, I'm not saying those words.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. But in terms of the talent is leaving.
They're leaving
the station.
But they need to reload on the fly.
And they're not doing the best job.
They're not doing the best job of it, but they're not doing the worst job of it. I think Worthy's fine. Like Coleman.
He's a good weapon for them. When he's in the rotation, it really helps them.
Both players fit what the teams want them to be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Bills ever thought about Worthy because the Bills faced too high safety more than any team in the league. The Chiefs still somehow don't face it as often as Buffalo does.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's despite the fact that they have the straight line running Worthy.
Yeah.
But back to the defensive point real quick. It is getting to a point where execution has to be the thing. The players have to make these tackles. There are a lot of missed tackles from this team, and you see it every week. I don't know how much I can blame on Babich at this point. I don't know how much I can blame McDermott at this point.
Well, because it's one
they
of those things.
They don't make the tackles.
I can already hear that, well, what's coaching supposed to do? Man, they're grown adults playing this game since they were six. Make a tackle.
Make a tackle. Wrap up.
You know, don't go at a 6'4", 300-pound tight end up top. You're going to lose that battle every time.
Don't go after Derrick Henry and just throw your shoulder at him thinking it's going to work.
Yeah, and look, sure, some of that maybe is going to be on coaching. And, yeah, Cole Bishop also had a safety blitz call from Tonawanda. Like, it did happen. But I've maintained this for a while. I think a lot of it has been more of a talent issue. I do put a lot of the blame on the defensive issues the last few seasons squarely at the GM's door.
And they should be.
They have not been good at adding at edge. They have not been good at filling in the interior defensive line, the defensive line itself. They have not done a very good job at fixing that. Linebacker is still very much a question mark.
You drafted smaller guys that can move, but now here comes the other side of the coin.
And even safety, cool. Cole Bishop's worked, but Taylor Rapp might just be DeMar Hamlin, except he has some big hits every now and then. That really might be it.
And you've saved yourself with drafting corners late, but your early draft pick at corner was a flop and a half.
Yeah, Kyrie Elam might be part of one of the worst secondaries I've ever seen with Dallas. I mean, so like that's, I think a lot of it more comes down to player acquisition and talent evaluation on the defense more than anything. They can find solid NFL players, but when it's just a bunch of solid NFL players and one or two of those guys get hurt and they're playing a Hall of Fame quarterback in the playoffs, that's where you're going to get bit. Let's go back to the phones here. Mark is up next. Mark, how we doing?
Hey, fellas, thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
I hate being this caller at 4-0. I truly do. My buddy Clark, he coined the phrase third and Sean, okay? Meaning it's a gimme for these teams on third down lately. And I'm only being critical of it because McDermott is a defensive guy. And I just think dating back to that Bengals playoff game, you remember that? The Bengals were without three starters, and we could not touch Burrow. Yeah. And it's still a problem today. I'm just so sick of that being our kryptonite. Again, thinking down the road, thinking playoffs, thinking Chiefs again, thinking the Ravens again. This has to be corrected. I can't wait to see what the defense looks like. That's what I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I think Hoyt's going to make a huge impact in keeping Bosa fresher. But we need more out of this group. And how many times are we going to go to this well of you have a stud quarterback, you keep overturning his offensive coordinator, and you keep missing on defense? That's my 4-0 complaint. Again, I hate being that guy. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Mark, thanks for the call, man. I think it's fine, and it's not even just to bring it up because, you know, of the Cincinnati game. Or it's been going on for years that they've had this issue on third down, at least definitely since last year, where, look, third and one, third and two, that's
fine. Played yourself into that
spot. Yeah, if you get a stop, that's wonderful. But I remember I was watching a Brett Coleman and EJ Snyder video. They were talking about that, and I don't have the exact numbers, but essentially the numbers came down to on like third and three in, you complete a pass, you're getting a first down like 95% of the time. Like, just complete the pass, you're probably getting it. It's like third and eight back. The numbers fall way down, and yet for the Bills, that's really my biggest problem, is it's these third and longs of you've done so well on first and second down, and that is a thing. I know Jeremy and Joe have talked about it, I think even yesterday or at least last week, where the Bills have been very good on first and second down defense. It has been just get off the field.
And it's third and long where you're supposed to, and this is kind of becoming the thing of where you bring up, this squarely falls on the shoulders of Brandon Bean.
We talked about it last week. Their average starting or their average third down position is third and eight.
And that should be your pass rushers get to pin their ears back and tee off. They're not getting home and they're even sending blitzes.
Mm-hmm.
That falls on the general manager. Because if not for Joey Bosa forcing fumbles left, right, and center at this point, they have no pass rush. Well, but what about pass rush win rate? Are they finishing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Are they
affecting the play enough against mobile quarterbacks nowadays, because that's what you have to be, in order to make that work? You frustrated Justin Fields. That's it.
Yeah, that's
pretty
much
the list.
I mean, I mentioned it, I think, either on air or off air, but QB hurries per dropback, and this is Per Football Reference. The Bills are first in the league at 16.3%. But
cool.
But along with everyone else that they're with there, the QB knockdown percentage is way lower than them. Their sack percentage is way lower. All of it is way lower. Even their pressures. compared to these teams like Denver or Seattle.
And when you
are
play
much better defensive units.
And when you play off coverage, if you're going to hurry it, well, off coverage is going to allow that to happen. And then it's going to allow a completion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sending blitzes, for example, though, and you're causing those hurries, that leaves holes in the coverage. But they're not getting home. And when I say getting home, I mean finishing the deal. Get a knockdown. Get a pressure that forces the incompletion. You saw a decent amount of it in the Miami game. But that's also the only time I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of work to do. I will say I agree with the caller as well. I am excited for what Hoyt's going to bring.
I am very excited about that. I'm excited about Ed Oliver coming back. Good lordy lord, am I excited about Ed Oliver coming back and potentially playing next to Deion Walker on snaps. If they get Walker into the one tech next to Oliver.
If he can play that role.
I have visions of being very happy.
And so that's, you know, to the caller's point too, they're 4-0. Hate to bring this up, and I don't disagree, but also we're 4-0 hunting a Super Bowl, and as you mentioned, it with the anxiety, that's where the Bills live at.
That's why he hates it, though. Like, that's why the caller hates it. He knows it.
And I don't disagree. I'm fully with him on it. But a lot of their issues potentially could get fixed if guys like Hoyt hit like they want him to and Ed Oliver continues his hot run he had in week one and if Deion Walker can play at the one tech. They've maybe got the pieces, the ingredients to really cook or bake a really nice pie. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have our top five playoff performers. Also, got to get to that NHL news I mentioned at the end of the last segment. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.